Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, it's depressing, so depressing that it's starting to have real-world mental health effects. The environmental campaigner and journalist John Gibbons joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Sean.
I suppose it's perhaps someone like COVID, it'll produce a low-level stress in all of us. But I assume for people who are working, if you like, on the front lines of this, they're seeing it every day, the effects of climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. What we're seeing is a lot of distress, high levels of distress being reported through the medical literature. And this was picked up, Sean, by The Lancet, which is probably one of the world's top medical journals. Last month, they published an article called Ecological Grief and Anxiety, the Start of a Healthy Response to Climate Change. And what they found is that they're noting rises in post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, the exacerbation of psychotic symptoms, and even suicidal ideation and suicide completion. And this is to do with people suffering extreme, persistent high levels of anxiety, and in many cases, what's called ecological grief. And I suppose it arises from a number of different phenomena, if you like. One of them is called anticipatory grief. Another is called transitional grief. These are basically different states where people are experiencing the loss. For example, the loss of ecosystems, the loss of species. And this is happening particularly, Sean, to people in what we would call the global south. This would be farming communities, indigenous populations that are seeing their world literally disappear under the shovel, under the bulldozer. So we're getting high levels, as you would expect, of trauma and grief. The second type, which is probably striking the first world quite a bit as well, is, of course, the grief and the anxiety that comes from climate damages. We're seeing this, for example, right now in various parts of America, huge levels of psychological distress being reported from post-traumatic stress disorder arising, for example, from fires, people losing their homes, people losing their sense of security, what the sociologists called your ontological security. And that's a fancy way of saying your notion that the world makes sense, that for example, your home is your home, your home is your castle, that your family, things around you are continuous and stable. That's what most of us have. Those of us who've been fortunate enough to have a fairly stable upbringing, a childhood, etc. What we go into our adult life with is this sense of the world making sense. That things, and when people suffer great trauma, so for example, this has been well documented, for example, among refugees of all kinds, the huge levels of psychological distress. And we know that, for example, within the direct provision population in Ireland, high levels of psychological distress. These are people who have lost everything. And this, again, is being reported more and more. So, for example, for the article that I wrote about this recently, I interviewed various people on the front line. One was a leading climate journalist. Another was an ecologist. And basically, they're describing what I might call the walking wounded, that people are experiencing extreme grief going about their jobs, actually trying to do their jobs. We've also got reports of scientists, climatologists, actually dropping out. They can't take it anymore. So let's say, for example, Sean, you're a marine scientist and your specialty is coral reefs, and you go down and year after year, month after month, you're watching the destruction of ecosystems that you've studied all your life and that you've formed a close relationship with, and it's part of the natural world. And we've high levels of grief and anxiety and disturbance being reported among people like that. And I suppose, unlike you and me, these people are seeing, if you like, upfront and personal, the direct effects that the rest of us spend so much of our time ignoring. These are, if you like, at the sharp end of the climate spear. And now it is coming for the rest of us. I'm afraid there's no question about that. But that's what we're seeing. And I suppose those people familiar with, grief counselling, particularly around death, will be familiar with the acronym DABA, which is DABA, and it basically means it's the way we process very difficult information. So let's say, for argument's sake, we receive a very difficult diagnosis or a relative dies unexpectedly. And basically, DABA means we generally start in denial of this new reality. The second phase usually is anger. Mm-hmm. The third phase is bargaining. This is where you drop to your knees and you pray to whoever you pray to, please, I'll do anything, make it right, just give me another chance. And finally, if you're fortunate, the last one is acceptance. And now I should point out that this process is not linear. People jump from A to B, back to D, and forward again. And that's so what we're seeing, I suppose, in what we might loosely call the climate community, is huge levels of psychological distress. And I suppose somebody put it to me very well when I was talking to various people about this. They said that what they're grieving for is the death of the future. Particularly, this is really acute among parents that I've spoken to. And what they're brokenhearted for is that their children will never experience the type of world that they've experienced. And if I were to break that down briefly, Sean, into numbers, say I'm of an age when, you know, when I started in school, in primary school, I think it was 1970. So, you know, that's about 50 years ago when I would have started as a little chap in primary school. Now, between then and now, we've lost about 2/3 of vertebrate life on Earth, wildlife on Earth. Mm. 2/3 is gone in that 50 years. Now, you might say, well, okay, you know, I don't live in Africa, so why does it matter to me? You know, we're not really surrounded by wildlife. But I talk to kids about this and they say, well, okay, if you're telling me that 2/3 of the natural world basically has disappeared in 50 years, what's going to be left by the time I'm your age? You know, in another 30 or 40 years, we're on a linear path. And I think your earlier guest spoke it very well. We're basically out of whack, severely out of whack with our environment. And we're spending down nature at a rate that isn't sustainable. And the problem with that is that once you understand that, once you grasp it, there's a terrible sense of, I guess, shock is the first thing for most people once they get their head around it. Denial.
But also despair, John. If particularly for the young people, for our kids who are going to inherit a world that is disappearing before their eyes, and they see there's only so, you know, they can recycle, they can protest, but it's up to the world and the people who have the power in the world to make the huge changes that we need to make any sort of dent in this. And they don't see that happening.
I think that is true. And I will say, and I don't want to be, you know, to overly egg the negative pudding in this, I think it's important to say that the common thread from people that I spoke to when researching this piece, the common thread they say is, if you're feeling these symptoms, first of all, seek out like-minded people, because you may think you're going crazy. You're not. This, I should add, some people describe this as a pathology, but it's not a pathology. Climate grief is real because the grief is real. If a relative, if a beloved aunt of yours dies and you're heartbroken, that is not a pathological response. That is an accurate human response. You're adjusting. You're going through the window of grief to come out the other side. And in a sense, Sean, we to some extent, this grief process is about letting go of the world that we thought was ours and embracing the world as it actually is. And that's a difficult challenge for all of us. And I'll say, I know myself as a parent of, say, teenage kids, one thing that has been hugely enabling for them as they're beginning to really get their head around this is, for example, they got stuck into the climate marches, the student marches last year. They found that very energizing, and it brought them together with their peers. It allowed them to talk to their school friends about it, and between them then to feel a sense of agency, because when you face something as big as this, the most crippling sense is of helplessness and despair, as you described it. And the antidote to despair is action. It is to take an action. You none of us individually can change the world, but collectively we can act together. Each of us has a vote. We really need to think about how we use that. Each of us has the opportunity to contact our politicians, to write letters to the newspaper, to, you know, phone up Sean Moncrief, whatever it is that you feel is a way of letting people know how you feel. And also, by the way, accepting that these feelings are painful, they're real, but let them in. Be prepared to deal with them, because denial, pushing them away from you, all you're doing really is storing up an awful lot of grief.
So they're a reasonable response to the way the world is at the moment. John, we have to leave it there, I'm afraid. But thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was the environmental campaigner and journalist John Gibbons. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk.
Moncrief on News Talk.